during this time that is tumultuous in so many ways. Let's start with impeachment. The point of impeachment and conviction in the Senate, of course, is to remove a president from office. But he's not going to be president anymore after Wednesday at noon. So why even go through with the Senate trial?
Well, the Constitution, of course, talks about conviction, removal, and disqualification from holding further public office. I don't think anybody would seriously argue that we should establish a precedent where every president on the way out the door has 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks to try to incite an armed insurrection against the union or organize a coup against the union. And if it succeeds, he becomes a dictator. And if it fails, he's not subject to impeachment or conviction because we just want to let bygones be bygones. This was the most serious presidential crime in the history of the United States of America, the most dangerous crime by a president ever committed against the United States. And there are Republicans who are recognizing it as well as Democrats. I want to single out my colleague Liz Cheney, who I think perfectly synthesized our situation, Jake. She said that Donald Trump summoned the mob, assembled the mob. He lit the match that led to the violent insurrection. None of it would have happened without him. Everything is due to his actions. And this was the most sweeping betrayal, the most terrible betrayal of a presidential oath in office in the history of the United States.
Liz Cheney, of course, the number three House Republican, a very conservative Republican congresswoman from Wyoming.
And the Oregon, and she is the elected chair of the House Republican Conference.
Yes, although she's now under fire by a lot of House Republicans. You said the president poses a clear and present danger to the nation. So if that's true, why has the article of impeachment not yet been delivered to the Senate, and when do you plan to do so?
Well, the Senate has not been in session, and so the speaker is organizing the formal transfer of the articles, and it should be coming up soon. I know the speaker also considers the president a clear and present danger to the republic. So
when do you think it will be delivered to the Senate?
I don't know. I haven't spoken to the speaker today about this. And look, you know, I know that everybody wants to focus on trial tactics and strategy and so on. I want people to focus on the solemnity and the gravity of these events. Five Americans are dead because a violent mob was encouraged, exhorted, and incited by the President of the United States of America, which broke into the Congress of the United States, into the Capitol, and came within a hair's breadth of hanging Vice President Pence. I mean, the ears, the words are still ringing in the ears of the members. Hang Mike Pence, hang Mike Pence. They built a gallows outside the Capitol of the United States. There was an assassination party hunting for Nancy Pelosi. So this cannot be at the level of normal partisan push and pull and just kind of throwing rhetorical brickbats back and forth. This was an attack on our country.
First things, David and Charles, for a Sunday, January 17th.
Good morning. I generally try to, it's just been a pattern that's organically developed. Think about Sunday morning podcast with a kind of a deeper sense of the scope or the solemnity or the gravity the profoundness of where we are at this moment. And so this is the final Sunday podcast of this series that started back on October 15th when Charles and I began doing daily podcasts. And we're now 3 months into this, and we're 3 days from Joe Biden and Kamala Harris becoming president and vice president. So I'm certainly mindful of where we're at. And today, January 17th, is the day that insurrectionists have called for people, their supporters, to go to state capitals around the country and to do whatever they're going to do. And I just hope it's not violent, but there's some decent chance it will be. And then in the next few days, we know how serious the threats are in the U.S. Capitol. For now and for some foreseeable future. And this is never been here in my lifetime moment. about where we are for our political, our American kind of civic life. That is Jamie Raskin, who is a representative from Maryland, Maryland's 8th congressional district, and he is the manager of the House impeachment lawyer team. The House prosecutes the case when it moves to the Senate. They are the essentially the prosecution, and the defense is Donald Trump and his lawyers, who we do not know, yet know who those lawyers will be, but Rudy Giuliani may well be the lead lawyer on this, to which Karl Rove on Fox News this morning said, if Giuliani is the lead attorney, there's a likelihood the president will be convicted. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. But I want to take Raskin's statement very seriously, and then I'll stop here and let us talk for a moment. Then I have another clip I want to play from Raskin. But Raskin says, I don't want to focus on the strategy. I want to focus on the gravity, the solemnity of this, what has happened here. And 5 people dead, the president incited, he called, he assembled, he summoned, he incited, he exhorted. And that last bit, he says that impeachment's process, or as a method, is therefore includes number 3, which is disqualification from future office. I want that for this president. I want every Republican in the U.S. Senate, Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, at the beginning of it, to have to tell us whether or not they think this man should be able to hold public office in the future. I want this impeachment to be focused on that point. That's what this impeachment, even after he's left president, can be all about and can be a defining moment for the Republican Party and for this country. So I really, really appreciate Raskin making that point. This is from this morning on CNN, just an hour ago. I appreciate him, and I look forward to them prosecuting the president on that point.
I see that Karl Rove says it's an unseemly and it's a disgrace for him to be impeached, and that it will be very problematic for the country. So even though he walks it all the way up to how terrible it was, he just still feels it's just hurtful to do this sort of thing.
Yeah, I think Republicans are making a case right now for us to completely ignore them. And it's the hypocrisy that they are so comfortable swimming in is something that everybody sees now. And it's just, it is such an old song that they're playing over and over and over again. And there is no other side to this. You know, there used to be like let's check in and see what they think, and let's broadcast that. There's no reason to even talk about it, to bring it up in a real conversation about policies. It's they have no position. They've given it all up to Trump.
And their position is that Me Too-ism, the whataboutism. And it just gets sickening after a while. So here was this, I was looking at the thread of comments after underneath the Raskin cut that we listened to. And one of them was, so where is this? I mean, you've heard this, right? Where is the strong prosecution of rioters from the summer? More people died and more damage was done. I don't know where that comes from. Well, I do know where that fact comes from Fantasyland. And government property was seized and occupied for weeks, police stations burned and federal buildings damaged. True. This wasn't a coup. It was the summer riots at the Capitol. I mean, to make these constant false equivalencies and to not be able to see the difference is very disturbing to me.
Well, I think it's led by design. I think that, you know, someone like Karl Rove, he knows that what he's saying isn't true, but he still wants his side to win. And so for someone in the comment section and also, you know, out in the crowd, mm-hmm. In DC on the 6th, for them to believe that they're led to believe that, mm-hmm. they're given tools to to spread that. And it's definitely it's a strategy. Mm-hmm. And they're successful in spreading that garbage around.
Yeah, very much so.
Psychology of the supporters being able to see beyond the investments of their lives, because these are invested lives, just as sure as my investment in Common Power or Charles's investment in this work, their lives are invested in these outcomes as are ours. The seriousness of the insurrection and the manipulation is at the leadership level. Okay, the actors who do these things, whether it's protesters at the Capitol or the people who were protesting for injustices this summer, some of them will always do things that should not occur. And the reality is that what I always look for is, what is the motivating principles of why they're there, and what is the leadership articulation that those folks are being asked to work within. Those are the pieces that to me speak always to kind of like where we seek to affect change in our life. And in this case, the motivating principles for this is the big lie, the claim that this election was stolen, which was completely premeditated by the president and his supporters, and then amplified by all of this other leadership, including Kevin McCarthy, the minority leader in the House. And they put boundaries around this that were so porous. And well, no, they didn't put boundaries around this and unleash them. He said, we're going to walk down to the Capitol. That's what he said. And we need to take back our country, and we need to be strong. To me, that's unconscionable. It merits disqualification from ever holding office again. Had he been a candidate and said that, he would have, in my argument, my view would have been like, we can never elect this person. But he not only had been elected, he was president of the United States. So I appreciate Raskin's articulation this morning about what's the number three piece, the disqualification. To me, I want that. I want this for that. Now, with Raskin, he is leading this endeavor even in the midst of dealing with as great a personal loss as you can deal with. His 25-year-old son on New Year's Eve died from suicide, and had struggled with depression for a long time. And he left a note, and Raskin and his wife have shared all this publicly. They made an incredible video where they spoke about Tommy, his name, that's his name. And then he spoke about him this morning on CNN. But in which Tommy said, please take care of one another. That's what he asked them and the animals. Tommy was a deep lover of animals. He was a vegan. And he asked, please take care of the animals and one another. That was his parting words. And this morning, Jake Tapper asked Raskin about working on leading the impeachment effort. And then in the midst of all of this, and there's a lengthy response from Raskin. And I have watched that, and we're not going to play that because it's too much. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's too much for me. All right. It's the loss and the pain is enormous as I right now transitioned from my 19-year-old son being at home forever to going off to college. It's just too much. But he then turns to talk about how he's incorporated Tommy into the work on the impeachment. And I want to play that clip. And as we do that, I want to also have us keep in mind another person in the House of Representatives on the Democratic side who also spoke about the loss of her son and why she is involved and committed to impeachment of this president And I don't have a clip for her because I would have played it this morning, but I just couldn't find one. But it's Lucy McBath, who is a representative of the House of Representatives from Georgia, the Georgia 6th. And McBath is one of my inspiring heroes. Her son was killed, he at the age of 17 in 2012, by a man who came up to him and said, you know, turn down your music at a gas station. He was playing his music loudly as he was pumping gas into his car. And the son said no. And they had some kind of argument. And then the man shot and killed him. Just right there, right there. And Lucy McBath ran for office to fight against gun violence and against violence and injustice generally. And when she spoke on the floor on Wednesday in the House of Representatives impeachment debate, she spoke about her son and coming to Congress and fighting for justice, and that she stands in his strength today in casting the vote she did to impeach this president. So Raskin and McBath, one from Maryland, one from Georgia, one a white, older Jewish gentleman, one a midlife African-American woman, standing shoulder to shoulder. So here's Raskin's answer about why he is committed to impeaching this president and how he carries his son with him.
Who had attacked the Congress, that trauma on top of trauma, just seems so debilitating.
Well, I'm not going to lose my son at the end of 2020 and lose my country and my republic in 2021. It's not going to happen. The vast majority of the American people, Democrats, Republicans, and independents, reject armed insurrection and violence as a new way of doing business in America. We're not going to do that. This was the most terrible crime ever by a president of the United States against our country. And I want everybody to feel the gravity and the solemnity of those events. At the same time, of course, that all of us are deeply invested in President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Harris moving the country forward to repair all of the wreckage and the damage of last year on everything from COVID-19 to the economy. But I was thinking on the way over this morning, Jake, about the preamble to the Constitution. We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, and promote the general welfare, and preserve to ourselves and our posterity the blessings of liberty, do hereby ordain and establish. We have to do all of those things at the same time.
We have to do all of those things at the same time. Our president and vice president, the Senate, the House, our state leadership, we have to do all of those things at the same time.
I appreciate
really, I don't have the other thought for now.
Yeah, I appreciate his sentiment. I mean, it's completely true, right? And we can do all those things at the same time. We put our mind to it. I really appreciate him quoting the preamble.
Yeah, I think in politics, this is going to happen when conservative Dems tell Biden to slow down on some stuff or tell him to stop spending. Make people choose one thing or the other. And really, when you're a leader, you've got to do multiple things at once. When you're a parent, you've got to do multiple things at the same time. You can't choose. When you've got multiple kids, you've got to, love them all, right? You've got to teach them all when they're in school. Right now, a bunch of parents are doing multiple things at the same time. They're going to school, or their kids are going to school, and they're teaching them, and they're working remotely at the same time. Or maybe they're essential workers, and they got to go physically and work. If we all can do it, then the folks who run our government can do it. And we can't wait on any of this stuff. There's a sense of urgency with all of it. And if they need to sleep 4 hours a day because they need to put this country back on the right track, then damn it, that's what they need to do. That's what we elected them for.
I think that's absolutely right. I wondered about that. Why is it that they don't adopt the work patterns of what someone who's a single parent adopts during a crisis, or a person who just has a lifestyle that demands them to be up at 3 a.m. to go and serve as the police, or the people who start our days, the garbage workers? You know, why is it that the U.S. Congress doesn't adopt a work style that's like that? Now, nobody should ideally have to work that way all the time, but of course, many people in the world do. But at least during crises, why don't you have 18-hour work days where you are in the Congress dealing with it in committees? Now, I don't have any doubt these folks work very hard, but the reality is it would seem like they should be able to move on all fronts simultaneously, not because of their superpowers, not because they're we're going to try to wear them out, but because the country requires it. We absolutely have to have it right now. And that's what I want to see from our leadership. I want to see it in full display.
Yeah, there are people, you know, one of the things that's in Biden's proposal, $15 minimum wage, there are people right now that, because minimum wage in their state is $7.50, they actually have to work two jobs and they've got to leave their kids with a loved one or something so that they can work these two jobs. I think that the folks who are responsible for allowing citizens to live a life where they have to work two jobs to stay afloat and not see their kids should probably be okay with moving to the Capitol for a little bit and staying up and getting this work done for us.
Yeah. I want to end the podcast this morning. Sorry, Steve. I want to end it because I want to get you two to weigh in on this. So there are going to be people in the Senate who are going to vote on this, who are hoping that this just goes away eventually for their own careers. All right. And there's a video released this morning also by ABC News that shows yet more footage. And we're just going to keep getting this from inside the Capitol, from the insurrectionists. And there's two moments in there where they invoke Ted Cruz. And they say that they're going through materials and they say, Cruz would want us to do this. Okay.
Wow.
And
Wow.
How far do we go with Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz? Let's just keep it very simple and focus on the two of them. They led, you know, Hawley was the first to come out and say he was going to contest the Electoral College. And Hawley is a lawyer and attorney general. Don't give me any bullshit that he didn't know the truth of all of this. Okay. He did that purely for political purposes. And Cruz then, because he didn't want to get outflanked by Hawley on political actions, trying to position himself for 2024, then said that he then pulled together a group of 10 others. I think he got up to 11 or 12 eventually, who signed a letter contesting the Electoral College votes. Both of them continued to contest those votes after the insurrection at the Capitol. So they're the highest symbols and of all of this, and they're easy to despise. They are truly not good people. But I want to ask you both how far you think we should go with Hawley and with Cruz. Should they be expelled? Should they be pressured to resign? Should they be removed from committee chairs? What do you think should be done?
Steve?
Well, I think they should be expelled. I actually think the Sedition Caucus should be expelled. But if you're going to give some of them a pass for promoting lies that are in violation of their oaths, then, you know, we can have that argument. But I think the people that spoke at the rally, the Congress members that spoke, and I think Hawley and Cruz in particular, I think they should be expelled. I understand that's going to raise all sorts of hackles, but you just go back to what Raskin said. You look at the last things he said, quoting the preamble to the Constitution. They violated their oaths.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that the two of them, without question, should be expelled. I think what's going to happen is I think it'll stop before it gets to them, and one of them will resign in shame. Probably not Ted Cruz because he doesn't have any. But I think, you know, that we are all society, or their constituents are already putting pressure on them. Josh Hawley, who has never weathered a storm like this before. Ted Cruz has been through the ringer, and he, you know, he's, you know, maybe only half human, but Josh Hawley, his first time in the light, and this is how it treats him, or how he treats it. He's probably done for. Everybody else, I think there are various degrees of involvement. You know, what's in a vote? I think that some people were, you know, emailing and fundraising and talking and all kinds of stuff about Stop the Steal, and other people were not as strong and they didn't vote. You're not going to get 100 and whatever people expelled from Congress. You are going to get some folks that helped, though. I think there are more people that helped plan this, directly influence this, that are going to get, we're going to find out some evidence that they helped, and they're going to get cut from Congress for sure. But they should be. We should go as far as we can on this, I think. And I don't care about, what would you say, hackles, Steve, raising hackles?
Yeah, it's going to raise their hackles. Yeah.
It's going to raise their hackles. Yeah, I think we're past that.
I do too.
Didn't we get hackled out? I feel like they raised, that's exactly what they did. They physically raised hackles at the Capitol, and they're out of them. They can't raise anymore because they used them all up.
Well, they're such snowflakes, though. That's all I'm saying. You know, they're such snowflakes about it.
I think they know the game. They know that it's so easy to get Democrats, especially centrist Democrats, to go back to like traditional politics. Like, they throw the rule book out, and then they totally rig the game. You know, they pay the refs, they deflate the balls. They, you know, mess up the field markers and stuff, and then they score as many touchdowns as they can, and then as soon as, you know, we start winning because we figured out how to win in their game, then they go like, hey, whoa, let's go back to the regular rules, and then we agree. And this happens every cycle. It happens every single cycle. They destroyed our economy prior to Obama taking over. And they had full reign of the financial system. And then Obama comes in, and, you know, I love the guy, but he let a bunch of bankers walk without consequence. And now we're hearing, you know, stories about Nancy Pelosi, who's, you know, another traditional Democrat who's decided to, you know, take Rep Porter off of the financial committee and, you know, go back to some sort of normal, placating the banks. And it's like, we've seen this before, guys. This is how we got here. We play the middle, they play the far right, and they pull our government in the wrong direction. Not doing it anymore.
Yeah. So I'm making two things. One is, you know, the chronicling, and I know we don't have a lot of time left on the free version of Zoom that you have, Steve. the chronicling of the timeline on the Capitol on January 6th shows that the insurrectionists were 60 seconds behind getting to the Senate when Mike Pence was still in the Senate. All right. And they were there not to say hello to Mike Pence. They were there because of what the president had done for days upon days, months upon months, arguing that Pence was the traitor. And they were there to kill the guy. They were there to kill him. All right. So it doesn't matter if they're there to hurt Republicans or Democrats. In my mind, they were there to do harm to all of them. And they definitely did to our country. on this issue of expelling or not expelling, I think that those pieces are going to either rise to the fore in a substantial way during the impeachment discussion trial in the Senate, or they're going to dissipate. And that will happen however that happens. For us, in the work that we do, we will not forget. We will remember, and we will foreground. And so I'm putting together an Excel spreadsheet right now of races and elections that we're focused on in 2022, as we're starting to plan to work towards that. And the senators we're talking about, Cruz and Hawley, are not up again in 2022, not till 2024, if they're still in the Senate. But in 2022, three people are going to get our attention already. Lauren Boebert, who is in the Colorado 3rd, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's in the Georgia 14th, and Bob Good, who's in the Virginia 5th. All of them are part of the far, far, far right, and Taylor Greene and Boebert are QAnon folks. And they are just terrible members of the Congress. And we are going to work to defeat them. And in two of those, Boebert and Good, they are close districts. We got a really good shot there. So the reality is that
isn't it close district?
Yeah, she won by about 5 points. Yeah.
My goodness.
But it's closer because of her. So it's a pretty strong Republican district, but it was closer because of her. And I think that Colorado being the and Virginia, which is where Good is, being the states that they are moving increasingly blue, give us really great chances there. Taylor Greene is in a hugely strong Republican district in Georgia. But we'll see. There's words that she plans to run for the Senate in 2022 against Warnock, to which I hope she does. Okay.
Yeah, me too.
So we will remember and foreground these individuals and work electorally all that we can.
All right. Get to work. Let's get to work.
Sure. So today is the 17th of January. We have 3 days until inauguration. And we don't know what's going to happen between now and then or in the days after that. But today, people have been calling on the right to come to state capitals around the country. We don't know what will happen. We hope it will be okay. And then we don't know what will happen in the coming days for inauguration. But we know what we at Common Power are committed to. And we invite everybody to come to my lectures tomorrow night and Monday night and Tuesday night about emerging from the Trump presidency. That information is on our website. You can click on the link there on our events page and it'll take you to the registration. And then come to our Thursday announcement of our plans for 2021 and 22, a fundraiser we're doing for Common Power at 5 p.m. Pacific time. That also is linked on our events page. It's going to take all of us. The work is different moving forward, but it is, if anything, more pitched than what it's been. Trump will be unleashed having departed from the White House.
He'll be unleashed it on no social media networks. yes. Happy 48th day of December, everybody. Looking forward to our new year here very soon.
Decembers are so long, aren't they, Charles?
I know it's especially when someone tries to take over our country. That's when they get longer for some reason. It's weird.